on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Audi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. The Indigenous round was one of celebration, with the centrepiece being the Dreamtime game. Then Adam Good's goal celebration sent the football world into a spin. Commentators and fans, confronted by an action they'd not seen during an AFL game before, jumped to all sorts of commentary, such as was Good's reacting to a racist comment? Was Good's attacking fans in dance for all the booing he received against Hawthorn? Was he making a point to those who have attacked him in the past? Was he trying to incite and confront football followers? And was he throwing an imaginary spear? And did he want to harm people in thought? According to Good's, it was none of that. It was just a simple dance to celebrate the Indigenous round, paying honour to an under-16s team, the Flying Boomerangs, and to show off a bit of Aboriginal culture on a very special round of football. Now, I'm happy with that. I'm KB. That's my take.
And look at Goodsy. He's got a bit of a dance going. A bit of a tribal dance almost, Matty.
Bit of tribal stuff there from Goodsy on Indigenous round.
We've never seen that before, and I don't think we ever want to see it again, to be perfectly honest, regardless of what it is.
In other words, the Carlton fans, I fancy. Probably best not to do it, though. None of my business. Won't stop the booing, though, will it?
It was all about representing our people and our passion, and dance is a big way we do that. There's nothing untowards to the Carlton supporters. It's actually something for them to stand up and go, yep, cool, we see you, we acknowledge you, bring it on. Is this the lesson we want to teach our children, that when we don't understand something, we get angry and we put our back up against the wall, oh, that's offensive? No, if it's something we don't understand, let's have a conversation, understand what was Goodsy doing. He spoke about it after going, okay, it's from the Indigenous All-Stars. It's something he learnt from these under-16 kids.
I'm not the Minister for the Opposition, Adam Goodes. I support Adam Goodes in just about every endeavour he's ever had. I'm on Adam Goodes' side.
9:42, 9:16, there's some of the commentary that has taken place since that game took place on Friday night. You might like to give us your thoughts when you first saw it, and just when Adam Good's just saying then, it's something that was to acknowledge, to bring it on. And also, obviously, some people seem to jump to all sorts of conclusions without even knowing what they were seeing. Let's face it, it was a theme round of Indigenous football, of Indigenous culture and celebration. So on that particular night, even though we've never seen it before, I suppose you could say, why haven't we seen it before? Obviously, at the Dreamtime game, prior to the Essendon-Richmond game, there was a cultural dance took place, and everyone loved that. But it's the first time we've actually seen it on a football field. And as a result, sometimes we get confronted by that. But now that you've heard, you know, Adam Goodes explaining, you know, why he did it and the reasons behind it, are you happy with that? 9:42, 9:11, 16, 0433, 98, 11, 16. I'm certainly happy with that explanation. And in fact, I dare say that in Dreamtime games to come and other games on this special round, that we may see more of that in the future. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Patrick Smith is about to join us. Your ticks and crosses from a huge weekend of sport. There's some great football as well. I'm certain North Melbourne fans will be still shaking their heads over what took place yesterday. Collingwood fans would be absolutely ecstatic. Brisbane, again, 6 or 7 goals up at one stage against St Kilda. And the Saints, for the second time, have come from long way back. 10 goals, of course, a few weeks ago against the Bulldogs to pull off a great victory as well. And also, Nick Natanui, long time ago, people suggested he was going to be the most exciting player in the competition. I was one of them. He certainly did turn it on yesterday as well. Ticks and crosses, 9:42, 9:16. Also, Brett Phillips will join us with all the action from the French. Mark Allen, of course, some great golfing action coming out of the States with Stephen Bowditch winning. Pete Ryan, AFL.com.au, with all the injury report and also the match review panel reports as well. Always get something off your chest. It's your forum to fire up. Always have a bunch of great prizes to give away. And then Weekend Siren from 11 with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake, looking at all the action coming out of Round 9. But coming up next, Patrick Smith.
Any chance you just don't worry about the words and start with showing your intent with some actions? Now, the bottomless pit of idiocy behind those comments by both men is both chilling and disturbing. If you're harassed, short of King hitting, go for it. Now, that is insane. So inappropriate. If we didn't have WADA, we wouldn't have sport, because nobody would believe one thing that they saw on a football field, a track field, a swimming pool, anything.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Did you think people just jump to conclusions and try to read into the actions of Adam Goodes without understanding the background of the dance and also the flying boomerangs? And it was a theme round, the Indigenous round?
Yes, I think that the people did jump to conclusions, but I think that they were working off a context, Kevin, of much discussion about why Adam Goodes was being booed. So I think some automatically in that context saw it as a provocative act. Those who, you know, realised it was a Indigenous round and were celebrating the Indigenous round may have seen it as just a celebration of the Indigenous round of football, and others clearly were perplexed. And we've got an explanation from Adam afterwards that it was merely a war cry put together, really, by the under-16s, the flying...
Well, surely we take him at his word there, Pat, because Adam Goodes has never been frightened to be outspoken or stand up for his rights or say what's on his mind, particularly when it comes to Indigenous culture and people. So if Adam Goodes, wanted to be an act that, you know, would incite people, he would say, well, I did it because of that. But he hasn't said that. He's just simply said, well, people have taken it all the wrong way.
Well, I don't
it
think
it wasn't meant to be provocative at all.
Oh, I think it was. No, that's what he does. He provokes. I mean, I think...
I don't think he's come out and said, I did that because I wanted to be provocative to people.
No, he hasn't, Kevin. No, I'm saying that he is... The reason that he gets booed at a level we haven't seen before in AFL footy is because he does provoke people about Aboriginal issues. And people are uncomfortable with that. That's what I said last week. I said, this level of booing is unprecedented, and it's unprecedented because it's driven by racial issues. Now, I think that that's indisputable, especially when you read commentary on social media and listen to commentary in the main media after what Goodes did. It clearly there is an absolute racial element to it. So that's beyond dispute. Now, what he does is he's not going to back off, Kevin. That's the other thing. There are three things he was saying. He was saying, I'm a proud Aboriginal man. This is Indigenous round. This is my culture. Here I am. Here are our people. He was also retaliating. His action, I believe, was a direct retaliation to the booing that he had received.
Well, he's denied that.
He's denied that, Kevin. I'm saying that I believe that part of the reason that he did that was it was his way of answering the booing. And the other third point he was making is that as a spokesman for Aboriginal people, he will not back down. He's in your face on Aboriginal issues. More power to him.
But I suppose coming out of that dance on Friday night, Pat, was, you know, people were trying to read something into it. And maybe even now we're trying to read something into it. And that's why I'm saying to the fans, you know, now that they've heard Adam speak after the game about it, are we reading too much into it? Because it seems to me that he's playing it down to the point where, well, look, it was a celebration. It was the Indigenous round. I thought I'd do something for the flying boomerangs, just in their honour as well. It's part of, dance is part of the Aboriginal culture. So, you know, I thought it'd be something good to do, particularly if I kicked a goal. And in fact, I think he said that he may have had another dance if he was at the other end where the...
He kicked a point?
Sydney supporters were. No, I think he had another celebration dance.
Right.
I think that's on record that he said that. So we're just reading far too much into it, because what Adam Goodes has said after the game, he's played all of that down. He's saying
you're
reading too much into it. It was just for the flying boomerangs. It was the Indigenous ground game. I kicked a goal. I did a war dance. A lot of people thought I was throwing a spear. We're told now it's nothing to do with throwing a spear. It's to do with throwing a boomerang. So did we just make too much of it?
I think, Kevin, that he's made his statement. He's happy that the statement speaks for itself. That's why he's not embellishing it.
But that would be out of character for Adam Goodes, because you've said before, Pat, he wouldn't back down. He'd say, well, I did
no,
that
I think he's made
for
his
this
statement.
Particular reason. I did that because people boo me and I wanted to make a stand on this day.
I think all of those were included. He has made his statement and he's got the result that he wanted. Now, he's left it at that. But I think if you can't look at that without looking at the context of the 2 weeks running up to it?
I know that there's been some commentary, Pat, and I know all the fans are lining up to have your say. But I've heard people say, well, in the past, players get into trouble for inciting the crowd by, I think we've had, I think it might have been Mark Williams. Did he fire an arrow or was it a gun he was firing at one stage to play with
shotgun,
Hawthorn,
I think. Yeah.
With an Essendon? And I think he was asked to tone that down by the AFL. You know, players running around like as if they're handcuffed are told to tone that down. If you're running towards the crowd yourself, I think the AFL looks upon that poorly. But putting all that to one side, this is actually an Indigenous round. It's a theme round. So yeah. To do something like that on a theme round, I would think is very appropriate. If you wanted to do it in any old game, the AFL may say, well, look, you know, just tone that down a little bit, as they've done in the past.
Well, I'm not sure, because Gillon McLachlan has absolutely thrown his full support behind Adam Goods. And there was no suggestion in any of the comments made by Gillon McLachlan yesterday to the media that he would not support Goods and the Dance in any circumstance.
But I've thought in the past, Pat, to be fair, that the AFL hasn't been happy with players running at a crowd, running towards the crowd or to the fence of the crowd, in the face of the crowd, for whatever reason and with whatever action. But I would have thought on this particular theme round, it was in context with what the game was, a celebration of Indigenous culture.
I agree.
But outside of that particular game, you know, if Adam Goods or anyone else goes running up at the crowd and wants to demonstrate in some sort of way, it would seem to me that the AFL in the past has said, no, 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 we don't want that sort of interaction.
Yes, well, I guess the AFL would argue. Well, I don't know. But what I do know is the AFL has given it its full support, and I would be staggered if Adam Goods did that next week. I would be staggered if the AFL had any reaction because it was outside the Indigenous round.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll see what the fans have to say.
My time again, next Indigenous round, as it would have been at the other end. If I had kicked my first goal at the other end, I had something else planned to do there, because you want to do that to the Swans supporters. So for me, it is about doing it to the opposition. You know, I'm not going to go up to Chris Yaron and do it, because he'd actually be part of the war cry. So for me, it had to be towards opposition and say, here I am, take me as I am. And, you know, you guys can cheer, boo, whatever, but take this for what it is.
Adam Goods, again, just explaining, had another dance planned. 942-9-11-16-04-33-98-11-16, ticks and crosses from a huge weekend of sport. Anthony is from Ferntree Gully. Good day, Anthony.
Hey, how you going, Kevin?
Good, thanks.
Look, I just want to... I've got some reviews on Adam Goods. I think when I first saw it, I didn't like it. I think it was pretty aggressive towards the crowd and that. When he came out and told his explanation, I thought it was a pretty good explanation. I just can't see, though. A lot of people come out and say New Zealand do it with the haka and everything like that. That was for the under-16 Boomerang side, I think it was, the football club.
Yep.
Why wasn't before the game the under-16s was brought down to the game and done it in front of the crowd? Well, that's what I can't understand. Why was it? Like, Buddy kicked 7. Why didn't Buddy do it during your 7?
Well, you presume the way Adam Goods spoke that it was his idea alone, really. I mean, he learnt it from the under-16s. He's telling us specifically that he had one dance for his
supporters.
And one dance for the opposition supporters. I don't think there's been any suggestion that another Aboriginal player would do it, another Indigenous player would do it. I'm not aware of that. So I think it was specifically something that Adam, obviously, presumably with the Swans okay, elected to do.
And he may have felt more comfortable than the others in doing it.
Yep, yep.
Pete from South Melbourne. G'day, Peter.
Hi guys. Patrick, are you Adam Good's PR man? Because it seems like you're just making it up as you go. And the question here isn't about what he does on Indigenous Week, but let me put it this way. If he ran to the crowd the previous week on Indigenous Week, it was against Hawthorn at the MCG, 60,000, predominantly Hawthorn, and he did that on Indigenous Week, would that be acceptable
on Indigenous...
If it wasn't Indigenous Week.
If it was or wasn't.
No, well, it wasn't. If he did the same action against Hawthorn is what Peter is saying.
And when, which wasn't an Indigenous round.
No, that's right, yeah.
Yep.
That's my point before, Pat, where the AFL in the past has been very strong on players
I know that, Kevin.
Running towards the crowd. But I think under the theme of the Indigenous round, I thought that was all in context. But outside of that, for anyone, whether it's Adam Goodes or whether it's some player running towards the crowd and waving his fist or whatever whatever he's doing or yelling and screaming at the crowd,
there's a big difference.
The AFL has never liked it.
Just firstly, there's a big difference between firing a shotgun at people in the crowd than running up with a boomerang, pretend boomerang, and to guns another level.
It may not be that. It may be just an angry reaction to the crowd.
Let me take you back to what the AFL said, and I think this is the important part. I don't know how the AFL walks back from saying this. They said it was fantastic. They loved it. And Adam Goodes has their full support as a spokesman for Indigenous people and a spokesman for the game.
Well, this is where the AFL has got to actually help the fans out here, Pat, because if it does happen week after week for players, then they've got to explain, in fact, Gillon McLachlan and the AFL has got to explain that if Adam Goodes or anybody wanted to do that sort of action every week of AFL football, is it acceptable? Now, they're on record virtually what you're saying. Yes, it is acceptable.
I can't see how they'd walk back from their comments on the weekend. Yep.
But it does go against what they've actually tried to preach in the past, and that is a bit of restraint in terms of players, no matter what their action is. I mean, if you ran up to the fence and clapped your hand in the face of a supporter, they would not be happy with that.
No, they
would not be happy.
I reckon they'd probably think that was inciting.
Yes. So it'd be interesting to see whether or not, if you wanted to do a war dance every game, whether or not that would be acceptable.
Well, you'd need to find the AFL's position on that. Well, but as I said, I can't see how they'd change it.
Well, we've got to try and find out what the AFL position is. Tess is from Croydon North. G'day, Tess.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I support Adam Goodes in that he is a proud Indigenous man, and I think similarly to Nikki Winmar in his gesture or Cathy Freeman holding the Aboriginal flag, he celebrated in a manner he felt appropriate, and good on him for doing so.
Yes,
well,
I
agree with that. It's Indigenous round and they were celebrating the culture of Indigenous people. And in actual fact, of the theme of the Indigenous round, if you knew it was coming, it would have been quite entertaining, Pat.
If it was given its context previously,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have been saying, well, hope he kicks a goal,
Yeah.
Daniel is from Hyde. G'day, Daniel. G'day, Danny.
Hey, firstly, I'm not for the doing. I reckon it hasn't got a place in any sport. But people forget the situation. When Good kicked that goal, there were 10 goals up at the time as well. The Carlton cheer squad come out and said that didn't mind it, and that's okay. I actually thought it was quite entertaining as well. But the women in the crowd thought it was quite threatening. People touched earlier as well. I think that probably he had an agenda that he wanted to promote himself. He could have got the under-16s team out before the game. People love seeing cultural things before the game, e.g. the haka. When New Zealand do it, people really get into it and they really thrive for it. But I think he had an agenda that he wanted to put something out himself and do it himself. He didn't tell anyone. He didn't ask any of his teammates. I didn't mind. I thought it was quite good. But Harry O was in, even bigger flog. He's Brazilian.
Yes. I didn't see it, but I saw some of that game, but I read in the paper where he did some sort of dance. Did he kick a goal and did some sort of dance? Yeah, maybe that was in support of Adam Goodes.
It was.
Yeah.
Well,
I think what he's saying was that, people took the Adam Goodes thing the wrong way, and this is one way I can support Adam Goodes on the field by doing something similar.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that the more relevant point is, where does this actually fit in to the to football? To AFL football? Is it every week?
Yeah.
Is it before the game? I think that has to be established. Otherwise, you do get to positions that Kevin is talking about, where one set of gestures is okay and another set of gestures is not.
I mean, we've had some players, kick a goal, Pat, and and just running back, they handcuff themselves.
Yeah.
And because they've got a friend or a family relative in jail.
Yeah.
And it's some sort of message if they're watching the game, thinking of you.
And they've been told not to do that.
Not to do it.
Yeah.
And I think if they were too persist in doing it, they would be fined.
They're completely different messages, of course, but nonetheless...
Well, it could be a message... I don't know what message they're giving, Pat, but obviously it's to someone who's in jail.
Yes, but they're different... I mean, they're different types of messages, Kevin. They're,
but it might be an important message for the person in jail, the person giving it, that I'm thinking of you even though you're in jail and I'm playing football.
Hmm. Well, I don't think that... I don't think that the AFL wants people sending messages to prisoners on the football field. Can I... Could we both agree on that?
Well, the AFL may not want to send a message, but
a
loved one
but
might.
But that's why they stop it, Kevin. Mm, yes. Do you think that would be roughly what we could agree on?
Well, again, I think
they
the
stop
AFL...
it because they don't want footballers sending messages to prisoners.
Yes.
Off the ground.
Yes. But
do you think that's wildly out of it, Kevin?
But again, this is where the AFL sometimes will get themselves in the trouble, Pat, and they've got to explain themselves.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. Now that it's not Indigenous round, now that Adam has done it, what role part will that now play in on a football field?
Correct.
Yep.
Coming up, Sports Central, take it more of your calls, your ticks and crosses from a huge weekend of sport. Love to hear from North Melbourne fans what went wrong yesterday. Collingwood fans would be very, very excited. I must say, though, Pat, the Dreamtime game was a great win by the Tigers in getting the 4 points, but it was a pretty dreary old game. It wasn't a great game of football. Richmond versus the
Bombers.
Wasn't
packed with highlights, Kevin.
No, it was a bit of a disappointing contest between two sides that, you know, at that stage, one was eighth and the other side was ninth. Same number of wins. 84,000 people turned out. Dustin Fletcher's 400th game as well. And it was a pretty ordinary contest.
This for his first score of the afternoon. Squeezes it through, needed to. Back to 33. Well done, Skip.
Blair plays on to Adams. 52 metres out, goes down towards full forward. Clug gathers, turns, kicks a goal. Elliott kicks the goal. And Collingwood are making their move at the MCG. Blair takes the intercept mark. As a result, Crisp runs to 50. Long bomb. It's an accurate one. Collingwood storming back into it. Dane Swan then, the Brownlow medalist, comes in and he works it right to left, his first goal. It's back to 12 points.
Right now, momentum with the black and white. Well done, Billy Elliott. Lost his man. Has he kicked the goal? Absolutely has. Six in a row to the Pies.
They've uncorked the genie and it's wearing number 5 at the moment. Elliott comes in. Kick is on the way. The crowd right at home. He's got 3, scores a level.
Long ball, top of the square. Who's there? Side bottom! Suddenly, it is raining goals for Collingwood. This is extraordinary stuff.
It was an extraordinary game, and if you're back for North Melbourne or Collingwood, give us a buzz and talk about the weekend. In fact, talk about your side on the weekend. What did you learn from the weekend about your team going forward as well? But North Melbourne, the worst loss in Brad Scott's coaching career. So far, Patrick, and I think Elliott finished up booting 5 goals. Was just an extraordinary turnaround.
Do you reckon it's one of those losses where the dynamics within a club changes? You know, we've seen...
Well, there's got to be changes, he said, in the lineup of personnel.
Yes, but the dynamic within the club, the feeling within the footy department, within the board, about the direction they're going, is it one of those
losses? Well, they're going to self-guess themselves now.
Is it one of those losses that force a rethink about where they are, what they're capable of, who they've got coaching, the playing list? Is it one of those monumental turning points for a club?
Well, I thought in the first half, I don't think I've seen North Melbourne play better than they did in the first half.
They were wonderful.
Fantastic, the way they attacked the ball. They moved the ball magnificently. They had a great setup all over the ground. They were ferocious at the ball. Poor old Collingwood they were just brushed aside. It was just this force, this explosive force was absolutely fantastic.
Inconceivable that they'd lose at half time.
Absolutely. There was, I think rain was predicted on its way. You're about 7 goals up and you probably should have been 10 or 12 goals in front because you're that much better than the opposition. No one could have seen that game unfolding. I reckon Mark Allen, I bet you when Mark Allen comes on to talk about the golf, I reckon he would have left at half time. He would have left at half time.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking whether we think it's one of those losses that actually changes the direction within a club.
And Nat Nui took a fantastic mark yesterday and then finished it off with a great goal.
Mark of the year.
And I must say this about West Coast, Pat, that they are the biggest surprise packet of the season. Surely a side that lost their best and fairest winner in McKenzie, then lost their other key defender in Brown, haven't seen Jack Darling yet, arguably their best forward because he's been injured all year.
Yep.
And then Bo Waters had to retire before the start of the season through injury. Then they lost their captain, of course, in Glass and also their champion ruckman in Cox. And you'd think, well, it's a long way back for West Coast Eagles. It's just been an amazing turnaround.
Yes, I think everybody had written them off once they got those injuries hit early in the season.
And Geelong, are they in decline, Pat?
As I've always said, Kevin, at the end of the year we'll know. But according to you, Hawthorn's in decline as well.
No.
According to your rule of thumb is if they're lower than they were previously, then they're in decline.
That's come the end of the season, Pat.
That's right.
So they've been going down every year.
So it's the end of the season. We're agreed on that.
They're in decline from last season.
It's the end of the season and we've agreed on that.
It's not the end of the season, Pat.
No, at the end of the season, that's when we agree whether they're in decline or not.
Well, they're declining more, Pat, if they keep going the way they're going at the moment.
Is the judging at the end of the season?
So you don't think they're in decline?
No, I don't.
Okay. Steve's in Collingwood. G'day, Steve.
G'day, Kev. How are you?
Good, Steve.
Well, at halftime yesterday, mate, I thought we were in deep doo-doo.
I reckon. That's a fair comment. Steve, did you
stick around?
That
wasn't a wild stab, was it?
And round about the end of the game, I was smiling to myself and I was wondering if all those, what do they call themselves? Oh, respected journalists that berated Buckley when he took over from God. What was his name? He's the bloke that just got sacked, didn't he?
Settling a few scores here, mate.
And, you know, it's a funny thing, but especially Caroline Wilson, who said that Swan was fat, slow, hated Buckley, would not play for him. What are those kids going to do if they ever decide that they want to play football for Buckley, mate?
Frightening.
Eh? What are they ever going to do? Frightening.
Well, Swan was good yesterday.
You reckon Caro got that wrong? I think. Have I read you right?
Swan has been brilliant all year, mate. Yeah. One is back to his Brownlow.
He looked a bit sluggish early.
But Nathan Buckley too, Steve. I'd like to hear from Collingwood fans because Nathan had a lot of critics amongst Collingwood supporters who certainly didn't want Nathan to take over as coach of the club. So, you know, what you're seeing now, are you thrilled that Nathan's in charge? Steve certainly is thrilled. Thanks for that. Trout's in Woodend. G'day, Trout.
Hello, Tiger boys.
G'day,
Trout. G'day, Tigers. Well done for knocking off Essendon. My cross goes to, I'm worried, KB. It goes to me mate, Welshy from Oakland Junction. He owed me a beer at the game. Never no-show. Didn't supply me the beer. I rang him Sunday morning. He's shattered, KB. Yeah. I think he's close to tears. Now, me tick goes to Adam Goods because now people have got to put this in perspective and stop trying to make it what it is. He was taught the dance with Cheddar before the game and either one of them were going to do the dance during the game. Now, they couldn't say before the game because if they both didn't kick a goal, they look silly because everyone's looking. But there was 44 players on the MCG that did the same dance and it looked fantastic. It just brings the spirit and he's got what he wanted and everyone's talking about it and that's what we need to do, talk about it.
Well, Paul in Moorabbuck just brings it up off the message bank saying during that interview you played, Goods went on to say that Jed did have a dance planned if in fact he had scored as well, but he didn't score a goal.
Yep.
Trout, we thank you for that. A quick break. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls. 94290433981116. Your ticks and crosses from a big weekend of sport. Patrick will also give his Goose and Goose nominations as well, so you can always agree or disagree. May have some nominations yourself. Brett Phillips will join us with all the tennis action. Mark Allen, of course, with all the golf action. Pete Ryan from the AFL will find out all the injuries and also match review panel thoughts and the weekend sign with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week on 11:16 SEN.
Yes, Patrick's famous Goose and Goose of the Week nominations, and you can always agree or disagree. Pat, who's got the nominations off Twitter?
We got a heap of nominations. Adam Goods was both nominated for Goose and Goose. Brad Scott was heavily mentioned, as were North for Goose. The uniforms of the ball girls at the French Open.
Yeah, awful.
Nominated for Goose of the Week. Yeah, I think they're dreadful. FIFA.
What are those long football socks for?
Yeah, Pat? It's awful, isn't it? It's
odd outfit.
Yeah, no.
Aren't they supposed to be good at fashion, the French?
Top class, Kevin.
Top class.
Yeah. You and I wear nothing but. FIFA got a good old bagging, as it should. And Steve, I liked his. He's nominated Shane Warne. Because it must be due. just figures it's... Oh, he must have done something by now.
He nominates him each week.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Gus.
Gus.
Elliot for his 5 goals.
Yes.
Buckley for his coaching. Ivan, Big Ivan for cleaning the rooms after the
What did you do? Ivan Marriage?
Yeah, Ivan Marriage.
What did you do?
Well, he was seen. They had vision of him just tidying up the rooms after everybody had left. Just being a good citizen.
What, the Richmond change rooms?
Yeah.
After the game on Saturday night?
Yep.
Okay.
As I said, Goods.
Might be part of his contract.
Yes, it might be, Kevin. Alistair Cook for becoming the all-time England run scorer.
Yeah.
And for Bogut and Dellavedova for both being in the NBL.
NBA final series.
But I've given... Mm-hmm.
Good nominations there.
Goose, yeah. Good to Sepp Blatter for failing to stand down when FIFA had been assessed to be corrupt.
Aren't we going for Goose first?
I've gone for Goose first.
Okay.
My award or your award?
No, but I thought you were talking about the Goose. Ivan Marriage was a Goose. Alistair Cook was a Goose.
I went through the Gooses first and then I went through the Gooses. But now I'm going back to the Gooses. Okay. Everything has an order, Kevin.
Yes.
Okay.
I can't follow this order at all. Who's the Goose? Goose.
No, I'm going Goose.
Goose, okay.
Goose is Sepp Blatter.
Okay.
For failing to stand down when FIFA has been assessed by the FBI to be corrupt for his whole reign.
Well, it's not his fault. He said he's the man to lead him out of this mire.
Yes. You got confidence in that, Kevin?
No,
Kevin, that he's led him into it?
I haven't.
No. Goose. The Goose is Steve Bowditch.
Steve Bowditch.
Shooting 64 to win the Byron Nelson.
Well, can I tell you, Pat, look, that's a great effort by Stephen Bowditch. It's the second time he's won on the PGA Tour. But I do get a lot of SMSs saying that you have got a strong leaning towards golfers when it comes to Goose of the Week.
Very hard to win on
and
the US.
And they believe, Patrick, that you give too much weight to golfers and not enough weight to other sports.
Very hard to win on the US Tour, Kevin. And when somebody, an Australian, does that, I do give it a little tick. But all the majors winners always get it. But yeah, that's a fantastic effort by Bowditch. And I'm going just
seems
because
like a winner
I,
every week. Whoever wins each week gets
just
a,
because,
a nomination.
And because of that, I give an honorary mention to Kari Webb, who tied fifth in her tournament. Mm. There.
Honorary mention. Okay, Patrick's Goose and Goose nominations. You can always agree or disagree. I reckon you'll get a number of people disagreeing with you today.
Oh, well, who is... Goose of the Week.
Well, I would have thought, look, you mentioned Alistair Cook. You know, he's become the greatest run scorer in
cricket's played by about eight people,
English
Kevin.
Cricket ever. So, I mean, that's
eight people
something
play
on the
cricket.
On the world stage.
He probably scored them all against Zimbabwe and Bangladesh.
Okay, well, they're quite good teams. And I do like Ivan Marić actually cleaned the room, Pat.
Oh, yes.
I thought you should have given that a little bit more credence.
Silly me.
Snapper is in Port Phillip Bay somewhere. Great Snapper.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you going?
Good.
That's good. Now, I've got three quick points, point one and two mixing together. Now, a couple of years ago, Mark Murphy flipped the bird to the Collingwood cheer squad, got a fine. Adam Goods does a dance, which means going into war with another tribe and going to kill each other. So I can't... If the AFL fine Murphy, why don't they have a go at Goods
not,
and fine
not
him?
Not quite. No, that's not okay. quite right. Go
okay.
on.
Now, my other point is, Adam Goods got Australia of the Year, and in that year, shamed a 13-year-old girl. Shane Crawford rode from Melbourne to Perth for breast cancer and did not get Australian of the Year. I know who deserves Australian of the Year. Shane Crawford, what he did was amazing. And what Adam Goods did in shaming a 13-year-old girl, that's why he gets booed. She was 13 years old. That's why he gets booed.
Well, there's a lot of...
What age? Just I'd love to know from the listener, what age is it permissible and not permissible to make racial remarks? What's your age, do you think we should introduce that in?
Well, there should be no racial vilification at all, but she's a 13-year-old
no,
girl.
But if there is, you've made the point about the age, so I'm very interested to know what specific age you want that to be brought in, that you can,
specific age?
You know, up to what age can you racially vilify people?
You shouldn't racially vilify anyone. But
yes, no. But you've established. No, you're very cleverly and very well argued. You've established that there must be an age group because this girl was 13 and therefore shouldn't have been forced to address the racial comment that she made. So I'm just very interested in what age you think it ought to kick in.
It all should kick in. If you're 16 and older, you should know.
So 16. Fantastic.
Yeah, but hang on. But there should be no relevant.
No. We've established that. But we've established that. We don't want racial vilification. But if there is, and as you so wisely pointed out, a 13-year-old cannot possibly be considered to have racially vilified anybody. We've established that the age is 16. That's a breakthrough.
There's always been criticism, Pat, upon who should be the Australian of the Year and the criteria of who should be the Australian of the Year.
Kevin?
That always continues because, put Adam Goods aside because, but we've had too many sports people who have been named Australians of the Year.
To look at Crawford and then to look at Goods and then ignore
You could argue that.
Yeah, but you've got to balance it with all the work that Goods does for his people.
That's what I'm saying, but
charities.
You could argue if you wanted for Shane
Crawford. I'm with you. I don't think it should go to sportsmen at all. I think it's got to go to our people who are doing groundbreaking work in science and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I think when sports people are named such as the Australian of the Year, that they are actually full-time sports people. That's what they do. And then they give as much time as they can to other areas, whether they be charities or whether they be causes. And they are magnificent that they give that time they've got left. But they're not full-time in an area that I would think the Australian of the Year would come from. So if you're a full-time researcher or you're a full-time doctor doing amazing operations and saving lives and changing the livelihood of people with 15-hour operations and things like that, you're doing that every day of your working life.
Yeah, but I mean, the argument for a sportsman is that it brings great pleasure and joy to the nation if you can win the Ashes
Series. Well, then
you
become Sportsperson of the Year.
There you go.
We'll take a break. Coming up towards 10 o'clock, let's fly through some more calls with Patrick Smith. And Ray is in Tullamarine. Good day, Ray.
Yes, Kevin, I'm a first-time caller to your show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
North Melbourne supporter, very, very disappointed. What have we got weight over from Carlton for when he can't kick a goal, when he is 1 metre out from goal? My mother's on a walking stick and she could have even got out in the ground and kicked it. And that coach we got, Noddy, all he does is sit up in the coach's box and just shakes his head. They've got a problem down at North Melbourne. When they get a big lead, they think they've got the game won and they just let the game go. They don't go for no percentage. Every time they get in front.
Look, it's hard to explain a game when a side is so fantastic in the first half.
Yeah.
That can come out and play so poor in the second half. You've got to give Collingwood credit because they were able to take on board, being smashed and then regrouping themselves. It was a fantastic win. But as far as North Melbourne is concerned, you do have to shake your head. Ray, thank you for that.
Real worries down there, Kevin. I think they'll have a tough week.
We'll speak again tomorrow.
Cheers.
Coming up, Brett Phillips will join us then. Mark Allen, don't forget Terry Wallace and Mark Blake.